it hit the most important points in this book, because we'll never cover the whole matter of the subject. But we're still dealing with how Jesus is established the principle of obedience. And we're going to find out that how God established his kingdom through the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm reading right down the line in the book. You can either read in your Bible or read the scriptures in the book here. I'm going to give you a second to try to find chapter 6 on how God establishes his kingdom. But we got several scriptures we're going to read. Hebrews 5, Acts 5, Romans 10, 2 Thessalonians 1 and 8, 1 Peter 1 and 22. But all these scriptures in reference to God establishing his kingdom. All right, I think I give you enough time to find the book, the chapter in the book. I'm beginning with Hebrews 5 and 8. It says, though you are a son, yet learn obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obeyed him the author of eternal salvation. And we're going to get more into depth with these scriptures as we go, but these are the basis for our lesson. Acts 5 and 32 says, and we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, who God had given to them that obey him. Underline the word obey in the Hebrew 5 and 8 and 9. Hebrew 5 and 9, the word obey. And also underline obey in Acts 5 and 32. Unto all those that obey him. Now go to Romans 10 and 16, or just follow me in the book. But they have not all obeyed the glad tidings. Underline that again. For Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report? Move on further to 2 Thessalonians 1 and 8. Like I said, underline the word obey every time you see it. Render vengeance to them that know not God. Render vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus. There you see that word again. One more scripture, 1 Peter 1 and 22 says, seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another in the heart fervently. And that word obedience again, class. So all these scriptures that we just read have something to do with the principle of obedience. And we're going to find as we go that God is trying to establish his kingdom through the church, but it has to go through the principle of obedience. And point number one, class, you can pretty much follow me in the book. Brother Nee does such a good outline in the understanding of these principles that we were talking about. Some things I omit, and some things I just teach right through it. Because after you learn, class, when you read a book, I learned it from an apostle. You know, you got to pick out the stubble in some of these scriptures. When I say stubble, the things that sometimes God enhances revelation. Sometimes God takes us further than what Brother Nee went when he wrote this book sometime in the early 1900s, I think, if my history is right. And so I'm not saying the revelation is wrong sometimes, but sometimes God moves a little bit closer to us so we can understand it a lot better. And so sometimes I do omit some things, and because there's no perfect book. You know, when I say it comes out of the scriptures, but sometimes revelation has to be weighed out according to scriptures. And so my point is, though, I don't care what book you read, always listen to the Holy Ghost when he show you some things. And I didn't find, you don't find much error in his book, but some things I choose not to teach, because sometimes his insight a little bit different from the apostolic that we're walking in today and following our apostle. And I want you to see this. So point number one says, as God secured the principle of obedience through the life of our Lord, so God also established his authority through the Lord. That's okay, so he had to secure it through him becoming flesh and becoming a man, because sin came through the flesh. Redemption had to come through the flesh, and also obedience. God tried obedience with the angels that disobeyed, and he tried obedience to his humanity, to Adam and Eve, and they disobeyed by not following God precisely. And the whole point is, God is trying to establish a kingdom here on earth. And we're going to go through the process that God used. And I thought it seemed good to see this chapter here, because it brings us through the whole process of God bringing us to the point of obedience through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what we're reading in these scriptures here, how Jesus obtained obedience, but it came from a long range of a process that God began even in Genesis 3:16, when he first summoned his man Abraham and called him out from among his people to begin the process of establishing his kingdom upon the earth. And so we're going to see how this process paying out as we go. And it was such a blessing to me once I gained understanding of God's whole redemption plan. You see, sometimes if you don't know it, you think it started right there with Jesus in the New Testament. But no, God always had a plan to redeem man. And as we study and as we become students of the Bible, we learn more how God functioned and how God maintained his authority throughout the earth. Now, let us see how God today establishes his kingdom on the basis of that authority. The Lord came to this world empty-handed. He did not bring obedience. Underline this as we go, because it's going to help you in your book. He did not bring obedience with him. He learned obedience through what he suffered. Thus became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. He learned obedience through the things he suffered. And so we're going to see Jesus going through the process of learning obedience. We covered this some time ago, but we didn't go in depth about how Jesus learned obedience through his suffering. And even so us today, we learn obedience through suffering. And when we say suffering, we're not always talking about sickness and disease. Sometimes it's suffering through disobeying God. And when you disobey God, you have a suffering you go through. It's almost like when your parents corrected you during your moments of disobedience as you were growing up as a child. And even though the correction didn't feel good, it brought about a sense of obedience. And those that didn't obey kept getting the spanking, kept getting the whipping. But those that are wise enough to catch a hold on and say, hey, they're trying to get me to learn something. They're the one that learned and matured and was able to become obedient to a level far beyond their siblings. And I got a few myself coming up. What about you? By going through suffering after suffering, he learned to be obedient unto death. Now, Jesus suffering was a little bit different. When I say Jesus didn't go through the process of disobeying, he never disobeyed God, but the world brought suffering upon him. Suffering through humanity. Another level of suffering that you go through because you're in the will of God. Now that's a whole nother level in itself. You see it? Because you got to know Jesus was both God and man. And so therefore, he didn't come in his divinity, but he lived in his humanity in the maturity of the Spirit. Are you with me, Clad? He didn't function as God upon the earth, but he lived in a realm of spiritual maturity, always in contact with God, always saying what God say, always doing what I see my Father do, always saying what I hear my Father say. And so you're going to find out that his suffering was a little bit different from ours, on another level of suffering. That's another level of suffering. We suffer through the flesh most of the time. So Jesus had to deal with so many other things. And it became a point of suffering for him. All right, Claire, we're going to get a little bit more into this. Every suffering he bore ripened into a fruit of disobedience. You see, because if I don't explain this, Claire, you'll think Jesus had trouble obeying God. No, Jesus never had trouble obeying God. Every time he went through something, he learned to be more obedient in knowing that God was always with him when he obeyed what God said and do. Every time he obeyed what God said, it always came out the way God said it. Now, that's the way to learn something. Are you with me? And so every suffering he bore ripened into a fruit of obedience. No suffering of any kind was able to stir him to murmur or fretfulness. How different from this are the many Christians who fail to learn obedience even after many years. Now, one thing he brought out here, no matter what Jesus went through, he never grumbled or complained about it. And that's the type of suffering when you go through things that don't feel so good in your flesh. We read earlier in the book of Moses. I said the book of Moses. I'm talking about the book of Exodus and the book of Deuteronomy. They all talks about the books that Moses wrote concerning the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know, Moses was a great leader, escorting the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses went through a lot of suffering from the people because the people continually complained as he tried to follow God as much as he could. And Moses went through a lot of leadership suffering, trying to redeem the children of Israel out of Egypt as God directed him. Well, Jesus was the deliverer. And Jesus went through a lot of the suffering Moses went through, dealing with the ignorance of the spirituality of the people that he was trying to lead. And through their murmuring, through their complaining, much murmuring, much complaining, many times they declared that you're not following God. Many times they say, you brought us out in the wilderness to die. Many times they complain about what we had stayed in Egypt. At least we had this and we had that. And we didn't have to go through all that. So Moses had to go through a lot of suffering. Well, I say that, class, because this is likened unto the suffering Jesus went through, the ignorance of humanity and the level of their spirituality. They did not recognize him as God was a suffering. They did not know that he came to do the will of God was a suffering. And they rejected him, and they call him everything. They call him many things. The Pharisees, They didn't have no respect for him. They said, "You of the devil," and they say, "You of your father Belial." You know, they say he cast out devil in the name of the devil. And so these suffering Jesus went through. But Jesus never once complained or murmured. He went right through these suffering. Now, class, I hope I open your eyes a little bit more when I talk about the suffering of Jesus compared to the suffering that we think we go through today. We complain about a lot of things. We complain, but most of our suffering comes through disobedience, where Jesus was operating in another level, being a deliverer and a soon coming king. But yet he did all this in his humanity. And when you go through your humanity, it's a suffering thing when you see things that he didn't really rejoice in a lot of times. He never rejoiced in a lot of things he saw, you know, as he traveled. You know, when he got to Jerusalem, one time they say Jesus wept. He wept because his heart went out to them, because he saw a people that were dull of hearing, had eyes that could not see, ears that could not hear, and heart that did not understand. He saw people with lack of faith, with a lack of faith, and couldn't come up to the place where God wanted to come. Now, he saw his disciples many times, didn't understand what he was going through. He had to rebuke some of his disciples. He told them, "Oh, ye of little faith," and because he couldn't cast out the demon that was in this young boy. When are you gonna understand and see? And that's what the suffering Jesus did. And I hope you understand, Claire. I hope I had to go through much understanding to understand the suffering of Christ. It was more than just the cross. It was more than it feeling like his father had rejected him on that cross. No, during his daily walk, he went through a lot of suffering. But the Bible says he learned obedience through the thing he suffered. He learned the more he suffered, the more I got to obey God more and more and more and finish this work that God has started me to do. Hope you're understanding what I'm saying, Claire. Hope you understand what I'm saying. But as our Lord passed through all kinds of suffering, he continually exhibited the spirit of obedience, and so he has become the source of our eternal salvation. Like they say, nobody could do it like Jesus. Jesus, the only one that was able to pass and walk through the wine press alone. You see, he had no help but God. He had no help but the Holy Spirit with him. You see, he had no help but the word that God spoke to him and that was in his heart. You see, we got all kind of help aids we go to, and everything except God. And that's what we short on so much obedience. That's what we short so much. By the obedience of one man, many have received grace. You see that? By the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, many have received this grace of God that goes beyond our shortcomings. This grace that one man said, it means that God given us what we don't deserve. It's a form of grace, you see. We also know grace is favor, unmerited favor, of unmerited favor that we don't deserve. But it came through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his obedience, and that he stuck with it. Jesus stuck with it, Claire. Our Lord's obedience is for the sake of God's kingdom. And he saw the big picture. Sometimes God wants us to see the big picture. What's the big picture? Jesus came knowing that it was never about him. It was all about us. And God wants us to get to the position, Claire, where we come in our personal life to understand that it's all about what God wants. It's never about us. It was about God and him securing the kingdom for God and to provide the spirit of obedience so we can obey God and get his work done upon the earth, and so God can hurry his return. He can cover back his return. You see it? The more we obey, the more God can establish his kingdom and the more God can allow Jesus to hurry back his return. Are you with me, Clem? Our Lord's obedience is for the sake of God's kingdom. It's for the what? For the sake of God's kingdom. The aim of redemption is to further the kingdom of God. And I'm going to throw this here right while I'm here, Clem. You see, Apostle talk about the vision when we close or dismiss. He dismissed the church yesterday. And he used the three-part vision that God gave him for Word of Life Christian Center. And those of you connected, you know, you also are connected to the threefold vision. You see, this threefold vision, changing the life of people with the Word of God. You see, that's one of it. And evangelizing the world, training people to go out, evangelize the world. Well, I see that, That's why, Clan, this witnessing app is so important. Because every time we obey the Spirit of God, when it comes to witnessing, here we're furthering God's kingdom. We're adding to God's kingdom. You see it? Every time you add to God's kingdom, you're furthering the kingdom of God. And so we see it's only done through obedience. So through the apostolic grace, through apostle, the revelation God gave him on this witnessing app, through the connection of your spiritual leader to our apostle in obeying what God is trying to do in the earth realm. See, this is not for World Life Christian Center. God is trying to do this within the earth realm. And we know we're not only one witnessing. We far more intelligent spiritually than that, to know that we're not the only one that have the revelation of witnessing. We're thousands are getting saved every day. Thousands are getting saved every day through churches that are obeying the gospel and witnessing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, this is our take in it. This is our place in it. This is our position in enlarging the kingdom of God. But it takes obedience. A lot of time, the Spirit of God will quicken our heart to talk to certain people. See, there's unique people. It takes unique people to do unique things. And only you can reach some people that's supposed to be into the kingdom of God. And so, but it's through your obedience. When the Holy Spirit prick your heart, touch your heart to witness the gospel of the kingdom to a person, I don't care who they are. Spirit of God will tug on your heart. Well, that has to be, obedience has to be applied to that. Apostle says something yesterday in his teaching on yesterday, he's teaching on Let Me Manifest. And one of the things he stressed so profoundly was yielding. Yielding is the key to God manifesting himself through us. Are you with me? Let me manifest, God said. But it goes through us yielding to the Spirit. And the more we yield to the Spirit, the more God can manifest. And he always used the scripture in Matthew 6:33, seek ye for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's yielding to the Spirit of God and seeking his kingdom. You see it? All these things should be, that's manifestation. All these things should be added unto you. So no yielding, it has to be completed before God can move on your behalf. Are you with me? So we have to get into this understanding of obedience, Clare. God will establish his kingdom. See, it's a bold statement here in our book. God will establish his kingdom. Now, that statement is in bold, and it's been repeated before, but the point of this statement is God, because it's his sovereignty, because of his divine wisdom, because of his omnipotence, and because it's omnipresent, he will establish his kingdom. When I say will, guess what, class? And I'm not trying to be sarcastic when I say this, but God gonna do it with you or without you, with me or without me. And so if I refuse to obey, you see, that's the scripture in Isaiah. If you be willing and obedient, and we shall eat the good of the land. But if you rebel and refuse, you see, that's an option. So God will establish his kingdom. It means that God's kingdom will be established. You just want to be able to say, Lord, use me to help establish your kingdom, because it's going to get done anyway. I want to be one to say, Lord, I want to obey you in everything. I want to, because why? The spirit of obedience is on the inside of me. When you got born again, class, Jesus came on the inside of you, and he brought the spirit of obedience on the inside of you. Now, we're going to get to a point here where they're going to say Jesus, when he came to the world, he didn't bring obedience with him. He had to learn obedience through the things he suffered. Well, at the same principle he set up for us, we must learn obedience through suffering. But just don't go through the suffering and don't learn nothing from it. Just don't go through the tests and the trials that are permitted to come to us and don't learn nothing from it. Don't you keep taking the same tests over and over and failing. Every time you fail a test, every time you fail a suffering, you got to suffer it all over again. Don't keep suffering in the same place. When you keep suffering in the same place, you mean you got stuck in your stubbornness. You see it? You get stuck in stubbornness, and so you don't move. It's just like a car or a truck gets stuck in a mud hole. You keep giving the gas, and the more you give it the gas, the deeper you get. You dig yourself deeper into the hole. And sometimes we do that as children of God. Instead of get some help, and they say, I can't get out here by myself. I need some help and someone to help get you out of the stuck and realize that, look, I don't want to go in that stuck no more. Matter of fact, you tell other people, see that place over there? You don't want to go down there because you're going to get stuck. And you warn others, walk in the spirit of obedience, you're not going to get stuck like I did. You see? And I stayed there so long. I remember you brought a good thought to mind. I'm glad y'all said that. What happened to me? I got a four-wheeler and I like to go off-road And I got this thing, got four-wheel drive in it. And because it got four-wheel drive in this four-wheeler, I think I can go anywhere. Well, I found out I can't go anywhere. Some place is just too much mud for me to go. Well, I tried to go through this hole, and what happened is the thing bottomed out, okay? It bottomed out. And so I'm in the field behind my house. We got a lot of fields where I live. And I'm way in the field, nobody to help pull me out. My God, was I stuck. And I couldn't get out by myself. Well, I had nobody to help me, so I walk home. I mean a good little walk, too, to get my truck. And my truck was a four-wheel drive. And I said, well, I'm going to take my truck and hook up to my mule, they call it, my four-wheeler, and I'm going to yank it out. Well, it was so wet, my truck gets stuck. So I got my four-wheeler stuck, and I got my truck stuck. I said, oh my goodness, what am I gonna do now? So I needed some help. And so I walked to find a neighbor that was close by. See, I'm working hard, Claire. I'm working hard, because I got stuck. You see, I went somewhere I know I shouldn't have gone. You see, and I got stuck. Sometimes you do things you know you shouldn't have gone. You see, and I knew I couldn't go through that, but I'm going to try it anyway. So I found a neighbor, and he hooked up his truck to my truck, and my truck hooked up to my mule. And so he pulled, with the help of us, we pulled all two of them out. But I couldn't do it by myself. Are you with me, class? Sometimes you can't do it by yourself. All right? You got to get some help. When you're getting stuck, recognize you're stuck and recognize you can't do it by yourself, and then make your mind up, I ain't going back through that hole no more. I'm not going through that no more, because if I go through, I'm going to get stuck and I'm going to go through the whole thing again. So when it's dry, I pass through that same area sometimes and I still see my rust down there. Oh, I say, oh, I ain't going through that rut no more when it's wet. So spiritually, you learn obedience through the suffering, you see. Through the suffering. I don't know if I made much sense to you, but I ain't gonna do that no more. Now let me go on, Claire. I just thought I'd stop there, but I didn't want to park there too long. So God will establish a kingdom with you or without you. I'd rather do it with me, because I wanna do whatever God wants me to do. And what He don't want me to do, I don't want to do. Lord, let the spirit of obedience flow through me. You can say that with me if you want, but I say it all the time. Lord, let your spirit of obedience flow through me. All right. Now, have you noticed how greatly the fall of the angels and of man has affected the universe? What a great problem it created for God. Now, I studied this. I took a look at this a little bit. See, after you teach this so many times, you think different about certain things. Well, he's right, but I can't see God with a problem. It's another situation that God's gonna use to help us with. All these things before I was learning. God is so masterful. God is so full of wisdom. He never creates a problem, but He always know how to solve problems that creates itself. In His foreknowledge, He knew they were gonna disobey, and He already knew what He was gonna do about it. Sometimes He wanna know how we're gonna respond to it. So the problem wasn't so much for God as it was for us. Because God already knew what He was going to do. You see? So I see these little things, and sometimes I don't just say nothing. I just go right through it, but I just thought I'd say something for your sake. You see, God don't have a problem. Are you with me? All right. It was God's intention that the beings He created should accept His authority. And you see, now I don't understand that. God wanted them to accept His authority. But God already knew what was in man. But in His divine wisdom, in His divine knowledge, His omnipotence, and omniscience, that knowing all things, He knew all things, but sometimes He choose not to know. He want all of us to succeed. God know when you're going to fail. God know when I'm going to fail, but He choose not to know. In His greatness and His sovereignty. That's the kind of God we serve, you see? Just like you don't want to see your children fail. You don't want to see your children fall. You see? And that's the way God is. He's a good God. He's a kind God. So it was God's intention that the beings He created should accept His authority. Yet, both kinds of created beings rejected it. God could not establish His authority in the created being. Even so, He would not withdraw it. Now, what that statement means is, even though they didn't comply with God's orders or with God's commandment, you see, God knew that His obedience still must be established on the earth, whether the angels fail, or whether Adam and Eve fail, or whether even if Abraham would have failed, God would have raised up somebody else. Are you with me, class? Even if you fail, God will raise somebody else. Apostle told me some time ago, he said, Ronald, always remember that you wasn't God's first choice. And it took me a long time to understand that. You see it? You see, what you're saying is others failed prior to you doing what you're doing, but you wasn't God's first choice. You just happened to obey when they didn't obey. Are you with me, class? I almost got tongue-tied. You remember, whatever you're doing now, you may not have been God's first choice, but you were God's willing choice. You were willing, you see? So when you continue in your willingness, in your willingness, oh, listen, this is going to rhyme. It's going to rhyme. When you continue your willingness, it'll keep you out of your wilderness. You see, that seemed good to say that. You see it? When you obey, you don't go through the wilderness like the children of Israel did, and they went around 40 years through a 40-day journey. Are you with me, Claire? Are you with me? He might withdraw his presence, but he will never give up the authority he has initiated. And what does that mean? When Adam fell and when the angel fell, he withdrew his presence from them. When Saul fell and disobeyed him, he withdrew his presence from them. You see, when all the people that God used failed, he withdrew his presence from them. You see it? But he's still going to establish it, whether it's through you or without you. I'd rather be with me. You see, I don't want to forfeit what God told me to do. I don't want to forfeit it. I want to do what God wants me to do, Glad. I want to be persistent and consistent, and I don't want to draw back. I do not want to draw back. Now, he might withdraw his presence, but he will never give up the authority he has initiated. Now, I'm going to close with this statement, Claire. Where his authority is, there is his rightful place. Hence, God on the one hand will affirm his authority, and on the other hand will establish his kingdom. Well, Claire, that's far as I can go right here. But I want you to understand that God will never withdraw his authority, because whatever he initiated, he's going to fulfill it. And all he needs is obedience, but his obedience will be established in the earth. You've been a good class. You listen so good. I'll see you next week.